this is a message, and I have to say, I like to sometimes look back at messages I preached, and then I try to preach them again, and it doesn't work. My mind was at another location at that time. So basically, I revised this message from way back 13 or 14 years ago. But it's called The Attitude of Gratitude, and I think it's a more of a topical message, but it is on a scripture. And I want to read that scripture now. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. Listen to the words in three verses, three mentions of thanksgiving or attitude of gratitude. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. There is a medieval story about two angels that were sent out to gather up people's prayers in a basket. And one was collecting petitions, and one was collecting thanksgivings. And it didn't take long for the first one to come back with an overflowing basket of petitions. But it took a while for the other one to come back, and his basket only had a little bit of thanksgivings in the bottom of it. And it's interesting to point out that that story was not written by God. That story was written, or that parable, was written by a human who understood humans, who knew humans. And it hits home because we understand ourselves. How, you know, sometimes we are not as good at thanking God as we are at asking Him for things. Is that not true? It's really... That's why that story hits home. And Tim Hansel, I just sort of discovered him. You know how I like quotes. I'm always quoting people, and I like good quotes. And Tim Hansel has a number of really, really good quotes in these areas. And he says this: at any moment in life, we have the option to choose an attitude of gratitude, a posture of grace, a commitment to joy. And that's true. It's a choice. It's a choice we have to make. A show of gratitude can be an occasional thing, like a boutonniere or a corsage that you wear on a special occasion only. You know. Well, the Apostle Paul talks about us having an attitude of gratitude all the time. We're to wear thanksgiving as a daily garment, not just as a boutonniere or a corsage. And one of the things is that not only in this section of the Colossians, but in four other places, he mentions this in verse 3 of chapter 1. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 12 of that chapter, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. And chapter 2, verse 7, overflowing with thanksgiving. And in chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Each aspect of the Christian life is an arena of thanksgiving. It can be anyway, and we should make it that. Now, the first point I have here, or the first point of the first verse, is that gratitude is a commandment. It's commanded by God. And it's here: let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. You know, a lot of people want the peace, but they have to have the attitude of gratitude that binds that peace to our hearts. Having a degree in gratitude, you know, like an educational degree, it's part of the Christian education, really. It's part of our Christian education to have an attitude of gratitude. And gratitude is in the core curriculum. You know, there are certain things that are electives. Well, the attitude of gratitude is not an elective. It's in the core curriculum, and it's required of every believer. And it is not just an emotional response. It's a duty. It's not just sometimes we say, oh, I have a grateful attitude, and it's just I just a feeling. It's a feeling I have right now, and then a minute later we're not happy about it. But this is a chosen disposition, a duty. We owe it to God. We owe it to God for a life that He's given us. That's a precious gift from Him. We owe it to others for our life to be an influence on them. You know, a grateful attitude is contagious. You start thanking, and pretty soon it touches people. It can lift people out of depression sometimes. And we owe it to ourselves, because our life is a stewardship, and it should be a stewardship in good health. And Shakespeare wrote, "Ingratitude, sharper than a serpent's tooth." Ingratitude. You know, a serpent's tooth bites. And it's interesting that our body, when we are in a happy state, and gratitude helps us to get into a happy state, it releases a hormone, or releases hormones called endorphins. And those endorphins make us have a sense of peace and well-being. And it also increases our immune system. That's scientific knowledge. And there are scriptures in the Proverbs that talk about a merry heart is good medicine, but a thankful heart is also good medicine because it makes those endorphins release into our system. And you know, there's a lot of talk about endorphins nowadays, how to get your endorphins going. Well, gratitude, having an attitude of gratitude is one of those ways. It's part of a good diet, talking about health. It's part of a good diet. You know, you hear people say, eat your vegetables. You know, that's a common. Now, eat your vegetables. So we've heard that a lot. We also need to be feeding our mental attitude of gratitude. We need to be feeding that attitude, a good diet. And we hear people say, are you taking your vitamins? You know, are you taking your vitamins? Are you keeping up on your vitamins? Well, there's a vitamin that we don't often take, and it's vitamin T, vitamin Thanksgiving. And we need to be doing this. It's for our health. And having an attitude of gratitude is both part of our nature and it's part of our nurture. It's part of our nature because, it's like this. The word thankful, it comes from the Anglo-Saxon word thinkful. In other words, thoughtful. Thinkful. You're thinking about this. You're bringing something. We need to think through the nature of gratitude, about what it is. What is this human thing called gratitude? We need to think it through. There's a natural instinct to appreciate people or to appreciate situations or to appreciate things that cause us gladness. It's just a natural response. Inside we have this gladness. And sometimes this gladness is not expressed. But what's interesting is that nature has cycles. You know, like the water cycle, the ocean, and then the rain, and the rivers go back to the ocean. It's a cycle. Or electric current has a cycle. Or blood flow has a cycle. These are all natural cycles. And there is a natural cycle that should be in place in our lives with gratitude. Because blessings are received, and gratitude should be given. As blessings are received and gratitude is given, we form a cycle of thanksgiving. But thanksgiving, though it is a natural response, it's also a learned behavior. We have to nurture it. It has to be nurtured within us. There's a nursery rhyme, and this isn't the whole nursery rhyme, but it's about teaching children good manners. And here's one of the things, the lines of the poem. Hearts, like doors, will open with ease to very, very little keys. And don't forget that two of these are I thank you and if you please. And that's important for us to learn as children. So it's something that we learn. We must cultivate this inner attitude of gratitude. Each of us has a mental garden plot. Everyone does. And it's just a mental garden plot. And we're responsible, each of us, we're responsible for what we grow there in that garden. We can grow roses or we can grow the thorns. Now we say, well, yeah, but they're both there. Yeah, they are, but what are you focusing on? You should be focusing on the roses, not the thorns. Or the peaches, not the pits. I think that word pits, it's the pits. Yeah, well, sometimes that's how people look at it. It's just a pit. All I got was a pit. Instead of, there's no fruit here, you know. Focus on the peach mentally. Cultivate a good garden. Dr. William Park, and here I love quotes. This is one thing he said, and this is so simple, but it's really true. We see exactly what we train ourselves to see in this life. And that is so, so true. We only see sometimes, we'll go right by something and not see it because we haven't trained our eyes. I really love the art classes. Terry can identify with this. The art classes teach you to look at things more deeply, and suddenly you're wanting to draw them because you're focusing, you're seeing them in a new way. And you think how beautiful the world really, really is. And because it's so beautiful, we can be thankful. And we can say, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful world. Be thankful in the Greek. Now, we looked at the Anglo-Saxon, be thankful. But in the Greek, it means this word in Colossians 2, 7, I quoted before. It means become thankful. We say that it's translated many times, be thankful. But the word itself is to become thankful. It's a process, you see. It's a process we grow into. It's a growing process. And the Phillips translation, I want to read that whole verse of Colossians 2:7, just to get that overflowing idea here. Grow out of Him, out of Christ. Grow out of Him as a plant grows out of the soil it is planted in. Become more and more sure of the faith as you were taught. And live your lives, and your lives will overflow with joy and thanksgiving. Will overflow. So this cultivation process is what we're trying to do, is get that gratitude out. Get that gratitude expressed. Gratitude grows best in a relationship with Christ. Everybody can have gratitude. But it grows best in a relationship that is grounded in Christ. Christ is the soil. That's why this verse says, grow out of Him. When we realize what we have in Christ, why we can be thankful and have this attitude of gratitude all the time. When we realize, it comes back to our mind. Remember, be thankful. Be thoughtful. Be thankful as we're thankful. And as it comes back to our mind, what do we have in Christ? I should be thanking God right now. And we should be doing it all day. Gratitude, the second point here in the next verse, gratitude is communicated. It's to be communicated. In verse 16 it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. You know, I emphasize, we talk about sharing today, and now the Starbucks is talking about sharing. But really, I think that's cool that Terry brought that out. That Starbucks has a little thing. Sharing is a wonderful gift, you know. It's a wonderful gift. And it's a wonderful gift to share and to communicate gratitude in our hearts through the Word of God, through singing, through praising. It's interesting that the word communion and communication are very similar in sound, but they're also similar in meaning. A communion, I think, is a little bit more intimate. But they really come from the same root word of community, the idea of fellowship. And we call Holy Communion the Eucharist, because the Eucharist means thanksgiving. And why we do that is because when Jesus was facing His death, when He was facing that night that He was facing the gloom of death, He spoke gratitude over the bread that represented His own body that was going to die on that cross. He was expressing gratitude and thanksgiving. It's interesting, the Roman historian Pliny called Caesar Tiberius, who was the Caesar at that time, the gloomiest of mankind. That was what he called him. He was the gloomiest of mankind, Caesar Tiberius. But Jesus, in the midst and the shadow of the cross, took bread and broke it and gave thanks. And then went out and sang a hymn. Taking communion should remind us that we're not to be dispensers of Caesar's gloom, but transmitters of Jesus' joy. And his joy was in thanksgiving. Gratitude should be the ongoing communion of the saints. We are grateful. We have a Eucharist. When we celebrate at this table, we have the Eucharist and we celebrate communion. And we all celebrate. We have that communication together where we're fellowshipping around the table. The table of thanksgiving. And it's a perpetual table we have every month in this church. Sometimes some people have it every week. And it would be nice if we could have it every day. But thanksgiving we can have every day. And God wants us to. But gratitude should be the form of communication that we have with one another, an ongoing communion of the saints. Because it creates an atmosphere of receptivity to the Word of Christ. That's what this verse is about, where it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwelling. It's like gratitude makes room for the Word of God in us to dwell there. And to dwell richly or abundantly is what that word is saying. Gratitude expands our capacity to receive more of God's Word, to receive more of God's grace. And it elevates our hearts. Gratitude elevates our hearts in joy as we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, as that verse says, in our hearts to God. Gratitude lifts our eyes from the problems of this life to the promises of God. You know, because a lot of times we got a focus on the problems. Our eyes drop down and we focus on the problems. And gratitude helps us to lift our eyes up to the promises of God. And gratitude, in the last verse, is a part of consecration. Verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. What a wonderful verse that is. As far as attitude goes, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, that encompasses all of life. That encompasses everything. Going to bed, getting up, eating food, paying bills, buying or selling, coming and going. It's all encompassed in whatever we do, giving thanks in whatever we do to the Lord. It's almost like we do this, everything is to be done in the name of Jesus. And that's what a consecrated life means. It means a life that's dedicated, a life that's consecrated, set apart unto God in Christ Jesus. As we do that, as we praise Him, as we thank Him, it's just like a glue that keeps that consecration together, that wraps us up and holds it all together. It's like giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's like saran wrap around our lives to keep us having that attitude of gratitude. And it's why that God requires it as a commandment. It's for our health. And He requires it as our communication. It's how we should speak to one another. It's the communion that's our ongoing process. And it's also the way that we live a consecrated life unto the Lord through Christ. Now, ingratitude is a sign of fallenness. It's a sign of lostness. Romans 1:21 says, for though they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. You know, when we find Christ, we find the light of the world. And our hearts are filled with light. Our hearts are enlightened. And it's amazing because all of life then becomes an arena of thanksgiving. We can look at everything and say, Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord. I am happy because Jesus is Lord. He's the King. There was a poor old woman who was dying in a shabby flat in a London slum. And this is what she said in her last days. I have all that I really need. I have Christ. She was poor, in destitute poverty, and she was dying. I have all that I really need. I have Christ. It inspired a city missionary who heard this from her to write a poem. And this is the last line of the poem that I'll close with. Oh, my dear, my fellow sinner, high or low, or rich or poor, can you say with deep thanksgiving, I have Christ, what want I more? Do we have Him? If we do, then what else do we need? We need to thank Him. We need to have an attitude of gratitude and let it be our lives, because an attitude of gratitude will make us healthy. It's something we can communicate with others. It'll help us stay consecrated to the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this whole book of Colossians, this letter to the Colossians. It has so many verses about gratitude, about thanksgiving and gratefulness. And Lord, we want to have that in our lives. We want to always be thankful. We want to be known as people who are gracious and grateful. And I pray, Father God, that each of us, as we approach Thanksgiving, will maintain the ideas that come from this sermon in our minds and realize that, Lord, you're calling us to this wonderful attitude that even the world is so grateful about. They love to be around a person who is grateful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.